All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
I'm Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you're providing a meal, you're housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
We are glad to welcome back to the studio Troy Bingham. He is the owner of the Erie Sports Center. And Troy, welcome back to the show. Appreciate it, sir.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
All righty. So it's been a while since you've been on the air. A lot of the things that we talked about last time were aspirational. How do you feel like, if you were to think back 12 months ago and where you are now, how has it been going for you?
Yeah, so we've had our bumps in the road.
Okay.
But we're well on track. So, you know, everything, people often say to me, Troy, we love your vision. And I go, well, it's actually not just a vision, it's an action plan.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And so we've been ticking off the actions on that plan. And so, yeah, we're very pleased with, you know, where we're up to right now.
Let's make the divisions here, because not everything that was the original Family First Sports Park is under your jurisdiction. There are multiple parties that are involved. So tell us what you kind of run at the Erie Sports Center.
So it's easier to explain what we don't run.
What you don't run. Okay, there
right,
you go.
So the only thing we don't run is the ice hockey arena.
Okay, so what the old field house.
Yes.
Is that is the Lecom center, I guess, sports center.
Right? Yeah, so we have the courts in that building.
Oh, you do have the basketball courts.
Yeah,
okay.
So we have a long-term lease on the basketball courts, and we use that to run our basketball program, our volleyball program, competitive cheer, wrestling, various events that we put on. And so we manage and run that facility. And then we run the rest, obviously, of the sports park.
Okay.
A sports center, which is, you know, the baseball field in the front, the housing and events center in the school, the dome, all of the other outdoor fields.
Right.
So, you know, of the 60 acres, 90% of it is under the Erie Sports Center banner. So the ice hockey is run by a separate organization.
Okay. So you're talking about the outdoor soccer fields, all that surround there. And so talk about, like, how did last summer and what does this summer look like when it comes to activating the outdoor fields?
Yeah, so we've put a lot of money and time and effort into the fields. When we took over, the outdoor fields probably hadn't had any love for about 15 or 20 years.
Okay, wow.
Right, there'd been, you know, nothing done in terms of fertilizing, nothing in terms of weed control, nothing done in terms of aerating the fields, rolling the fields. And so the first time we hosted a major soccer tournament about 2 years ago, we got a lot of negative feedback.
Mm-hmm.
About the
people
state.
Were falling into ruts and stuff.
Yeah, it didn't
That's
help.
Really dangerous for players.
Yeah, and it didn't help that we hosted a lacrosse tournament in pouring rain over our very, very first weekend that we opened.
Okay.
So there was huge damage done.
Yeah.
But now, if you come to the fields are looking outstanding.
Nice.
You know, we have a full-time facility management, a guy who looks after them like they're his own. And the last summer, when we hosted State Cup again, you know, the feedback was outstanding.
Good.
We probably have the best outdoor fields in the region.
Wonderful, wonderful. You also reactivated, I should say, parts of that fun center. Talk about what's working and what you have hope to have open this summer there.
Yeah, so we did. Our big focus for this summer is going to be on the mini golf.
Mini golf, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, our long-term plan is to seriously upgrade the mini golf, put a roof over it.
Oh.
We are working with a new turf company to come in and upgrade it. The batting cages eventually will become an indoor facility.
Okay.
For batting cages.
And that's how you can get it for a 12-month. You kind of have to do that around here, don't you?
Absolutely.
As much as you can anyway.
Absolutely. You know, and that's the same with the fields, right? Eventually, yeah. All of our fields will be turf.
Okay.
Because right now we can only activate really from the 1st of May to about the 30th of September.
Okay.
Reliably.
Right.
Right. You know, anything earlier than the 1st of May, the fields are still holding too much water. Mm-hmm. Anything past the 30th of September, you're in danger of the fields being really wet when you're hosting something.
Sure.
And then all the field damage happens.
Are they still doing like tournaments like the Snickers and some of those big name tournaments? Are they still out there?
Yeah. So we host Western New York, Western Pennsylvania State Cup.
Okay.
Which is a relatively large size soccer tournament.
Yeah.
Uses all of our fields for the entire weekend.
Gotcha.
I think this year we might have to spill over onto the Friday as well.
Okay.
Okay. Our big push going forward is going to be in baseball and softball.
All right. Tell me about that. So you've kind of converted some of the soccer fields into a ballpark. Talk about that.
Yeah. So we're undertaking that at the moment.
Okay.
So we're building 4 baseball and softball fields. And they'll be ready.
Like towards the Oliver Road side of the...
Towards the Robinson Road side.
Toward the Robinson Road, on the back side.
Yeah,
okay,
so behind the dome.
Got it. Okay.
So on the front of the property, you'll see there's already a baseball and softball field.
Yeah.
Right. Now, that's going to become the finals stadium.
So that's where you're going to have a lot of attendance and have bleachers and all.
Correct. So that'll be our showcase field for baseball and softball. We're doing a lot of upgrading of that. And eventually, that'll be turf.
Gotcha.
Right.
Wow.
Behind the dome, where we currently have 2 soccer fields, we will be adding on to that. We have space around them to add infields for baseball and softball. So another 2 fields will go up there. And then where our other soccer fields are, we'll add a 4th infield there. So the goal is to have a minimum 4 diamonds for baseball and softball. And what that allows us to do in the summertime is to go from 6 summer tournaments to about 16.
Oh, wow.
Right. So
are you seeing that that's where the demand is going, is back into baseball and softball? I mean, again, if for years and years, soccer was the thing. You played soccer yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, look, I just think that any facility nowadays finds it very difficult to survive being a single sport facility.
Makes sense.
You have to be multi-sport, right? And the success of our dome is that in our dome, we play soccer, baseball, softball, lacrosse, flag football, tackle football. And so the dome is full 24/7 from, you know, 1 October to 30 April.
Wow.
It's just absolutely jam-packed because we have 5 or 6 different sports operating in there.
Are these guys, are they playing in leagues? Are they playing pickup? How does that work inside the dome?
Most of it's leagues and tournaments
and
training.
Oh, okay, sure.
Right? So Monday and Wednesday night, we're full with soccer training. As soon as that finishes at 9 o'clock, we have league starting. Tuesday and Thursday, we have baseball on a Tuesday night that practices until 8. As soon as that finishes, our adult leagues kick in. Thursday is football, you know, from 5 till 8. As soon as that finishes, adult leagues kick in.
Wow.
Friday is baseball again. As soon as that finishes at 8, adult leagues kick in again. So there's such a demand for training space, right, we're the only place that can give you a full-size field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, having that ability to be inside during the winter is a huge deal. I want you to – okay, so we covered the fields. We covered the dome. Go to the dorm. Is it still available for visiting teams to take advantage of some space, or is that pretty much mostly for the Erie Prep Academy and what you're doing with the school there?
Yeah, so the school from 1 September to end of May, the primary activity is our school and our academy.
Yeah, and there's a lot of borders for that academy, right?
Correct. In actual fact, I'm flying to Spain on Friday for a week, back to our partners, Villarreal. We are taking two Canadian teams across for a week's experience. I'm taking a coach across to do a full week of coach immersion. And I have numerous interviews there for international players who are coming to Erie to go to our school in the fall. So from September to May, it'll be primarily the academy and the school. We expect around 150 kids. Half of those, to between 75 and 100, will be kids that are living there.
Yeah, wow.
And are either in our full-time basketball academy or our full-time soccer academy.
Wow, wow.
We would.
And then and May 1st is when you can convert to summer boarding, I guess.
Correct, and that's when our camp season starts.
Yeah.
Right, so 1st of June. So June, July, and August is our camp season. And this year, for the first time ever, we're hosting the Villarreal International Residential Camp. Mm. And that's the last 2 weeks in July. So there's kids coming in from all over the United States, all over the world, to Erie for 2 weeks. And it's 2 weeks of soccer camp and English language camp.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow. And are actual players coming over from Spain for this?
Yeah, so our partner, Villarreal, is probably one of the top 20 clubs in the world.
Yeah.
And I think what people need to understand is that they're truly our partner. This is not some sham where you pay $10,000 to get the right to use a brand on your sports club.
Right.
They're actually our joint venture partner. So they're invested in the success of what we do here as an organization. Mm-hmm. So we have our first Spanish coach arriving in August from the La Liga Academy in Spain. And he will oversee our soccer academy program, methodology, development pathways, and the entire process.
That's cool.
Which is outstanding.
All right. So as a player and a coach, what would you say the systems, the differences and the sameness of like a Spanish system versus a South African system?
So I would say this to you. The game has transformed in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Right? The modern way of playing soccer now requires just incredible speed, and speed of thought, speed of technique.
The guys are bigger, aren't they? More muscular, and I mean, didn't you used to have an advantage if you were small and quick?
You still have an advantage if you're small and quick, but you've got to be small and incredibly quick, right? And incredibly skillful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And see the game, right? I mean, you look at the English Premier League now. I mean, those guys in the middle of the midfield are 6'2", 6'3".
That's insane.
Can run all day. Are just as technically astute as what the small technical players were 20 years ago. And the game has become 90 minutes of back and forward, right?
Wow.
You have to cope. The speed. You know, if you look 20 years ago, you would see games being played on muddy pitches with no grass in the goal mouth. And now they're playing on pristine fields where the speed of the ball movement is just incredible, right? The pressure, the closing down, the tightness, it's completely different to the way it was. And you can see that now in the American national team's results.
Yeah.
They're out there struggling.
Wow.
Europeans have overtaken women's soccer because they develop players differently. They're more technical. They're more tactical. They understand the game more. And so that's what we're trying to bring to the United States.
Yeah, you're trying to teach the kids, hey, this is the new world of soccer.
Correct. You know, Americans by nature are very athletic, right? Physically strong. Not afraid of tackling, can run all day. But the days of dominating teams just playing that way are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't point it out more than the last Women's World Cup. The United States, you know, exited in the quarterfinals. The teams that went on were smaller, but just so much quicker technically, so much better technically, so much more aware tactically. And so the game has evolved, and we have to evolve how we develop players now.
Troy, I want to pivot to our main topic here, and that is this concept of sports for all. My understanding is that you're working in tandem with the Booker T. Washington Center. Kind of tell us the whole story. How did this idea come about here?
So when this facility was built 25 years ago by Gary Renard, his original vision, which was amazing, right, if you think about it, if you see what's happened over 25 years, his original vision was that this was going to be a community asset and that kids in the local community would benefit from being able to come up there and play sport. So when we took over, My background is I come from living in a government house in South Africa, right? Mm-hmm. And we grew up, we had enough. But sport was a catalyst for helping me change my life. It was because I was good at sport, I got sent to a good boys high school. It was through that that I got introduced to Price Waterhouse. It was through that I got introduced to a scout, ended up at Gannon.
Yeah.
And went on and got a master's degree and did relatively okay in life, right? But it was through sport. And so part of our vision and passion up at the Sports Center is that we can help change kids' lives through sport.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be a good community asset and a good community ambassador. Of course, we have to be commercial, right? The last four or five people who've tried to do stuff up there have all gone under.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no intention of that ever happening again.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will be commercially minded. And so our deal with Allegheny Health Network and some of the other projects that we bring into the table will ensure that the sustainability and the longevity of the sports center will be there for generations to come now. Right, so there's financial stability in the sports center.
Where do you think that the secret sauce to make it sustainable? I mean, you say we have to be commercial. What does that mean, though? Because, you know, partnerships come and go, advertisers come and go. I mean, it's tough. It's a tough market.
Yeah.
You have ups and downs. Talk about what your thoughts on how to on sustainability, I should say. Yeah.
So you need to create revenue streams that where you're not relying just on the sports income.
Okay.
Okay. And so when I looked at the sports center and I looked at the land we had available to us, I look at it like a property developer.
Mm-hmm.
And go, how can I monetize these different parcels of land with commercial relationships? Because long-term commercial relationships can be counted on.
Right. Right? Yeah.
Particularly if you've got A-class tenants like an Allegheny Health Network,
right,
or a Special Olympics or our school, right? So those are sustainable revenue streams that you can count on month after month, year after year. And those kind of relationships give confidence to other people to say, hey, if a brand like Allegheny Health Network has put a stake in the ground there, well, maybe we should be doing the same thing.
Right.
Right. So that's the first thing. You have to create other relationships, other commercial arrangements that are not reliant just on the sports side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been part of the challenge previously. There was no anchor tenant. There was no sustainable regular revenue coming into those facilities.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
The other thing is, I think most of the people that have tried to do something up there have focused on doing a singular sport. So originally it was soccer.
Right.
Then with great, it was just ice hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was just a golf driving range in the dome. And in isolation, none of those things are sustainable,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're seasonal. There's competition that comes and goes, that kind of stuff. And so so we have a very clear plan to build sustainability out of other commercial relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I have four or five other projects that are in the works at the moment with national and international brands that will bring other commercial activity to the sports center, okay,
cool,
that will be sustainable for the next 20 or 30 years.
I noticed you built a clubhouse. Tell me about the strategy behind that.
Again, you know, how can we generate revenue mm-hmm. without always dipping into the pockets of parents
mm-hmm.
for sport, right? And so a liquor license was really, really crucial to our venue. We have a captive audience up there. Parents don't mind having a social drink,
mm-hmm.
right?
Our kids are busy at the fields.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our live music stage, again, another commercial activity. Our beer garden, another commercial activity. These are all things that add to what we provide for tournaments, for events, for leagues, and so on. But as standalone businesses, they also generate millions of dollars themselves.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
Right? And so our next endeavor will be, you know, having a recognizable food brand up there so that we now have a 24/7 food and restaurant offering to the public. And as I said, after that, there'll be more commercial activity and development type activity that will, you know, something you can count on for 20 or 30 years.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And help you, you know, keep sustainability.
Yeah. What is the the draw geographically? Because, I mean, you've got that big sports complex out in Geneva, Ohio. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else is in between us and Buffalo or Pittsburgh, you know?
So, interestingly enough, we say there's no facility like ours within a six-hour drive.
6 hours, wow. Yeah.
So while Geneva might have a really impressive facility, and they do, you know, they have Olympic-sized swimming pool, which is fine. How often can you fill that?
Right.
They have an indoor running track. Well, how often can you fill that? Mm-hmm. And both of those are enormous overheads.
Sure.
They don't have the 10 outdoor fields we have. You know, the dormitories, the dome. So those are all things that are unique to our property.
Right.
If you look further to the west, the Canton Hall of Fame, right? They just
They're trying to build some kind of a football thing
there. Yeah. So they just spent about $350 million building a facility that still doesn't have what we have. They have six outdoor turf fields. They just built a dome. Their dome is not full size. Half of it is for events. Half of it is turf.
Yeah.
They don't have the dorms. They don't have the school. They don't have the local clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you look further west. You look at Sports Force in Sandusky. Another investment, $150, $160 million. Four or five, maybe six outdoor turf fields. Seven or eight indoor basketball courts.
Yeah.
All right. So we are just so fortunate.
Right.
That this facility was built 25 years ago.
When labor was lower and land was cheaper. I mean, yeah, it's kind of set up for success, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, if you look at the Allegheny Health Network Sports Performance Center that's being built now and the Orthopedic Center, you look at the brand new dome we have, you look at the full-size turf field we have in the dome, the dorms we have. If I just turf our outdoor fields, there will be nothing that can compare to what we're doing in this entire region.
Troy, talk about your connection with the Booker T. Washington Center. How are they a partner with you?
So it's broader than Booker T.
Okay, go ahead.
It's MCIC.
Okay, gotcha, right? Yes.
And so MCIC is a collaboration of Booker T. Washington, Martin Luther King, and the Quality of Life Learning Center.
Got it.
On the east side. The reason why that is so important to us, we currently have about, I would say, 50 or 60 kids that are from other refugee backgrounds, inner city backgrounds, financially disadvantaged backgrounds, all playing travel sport up at the sports center. So we fund that completely. I fund that myself. We have some generous donors behind the scenes who help out. And so those are kids that have ability and want to play sport in a structured environment.
What are some of the travel teams that these kids might be involved in?
So at the moment, the majority are in soccer.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, last year our U19 boys team won the state cup. And I think we had seven kids on full scholarships from MCIC. Two of those youngsters went on and got full rides at Spire for grade 12. There'll be an announcement coming out soon. But both of those youngsters have now been offered full rides to go on and play university.
Wow.
Besides that, you know,
and you could really relate to this pathway.
It is the most rewarding thing we do as a business, is watching these young kids, where sport is everything to them, come up to our facility, walk into the dome, with big eyes, and training in a first-class facility with quality coaches, with new equipment, taking them on the road for the first time to play a tournament in Pittsburgh or Columbus or Cleveland.
Yeah, how many of these kids have been in hotels and,
correct,
you know, in, you know, get their cleats on and they're going off to play after, you know, one of those Belgian waffles at the Hampton Inn or something like that, you know?
Yeah, and so crazy. We've done that in soccer and, you know, we took four teams in flag football last year to regionals in Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow.
I would say 80-90% of those four teams were kids from those backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
We spent the night in a hotel down in Pittsburgh. We competed in Steelers jerseys. We lost every game, but the kids got a wonderful experience. They understand the level of competition they need to get to now.
Yeah.
And so this year we're doing it again. We're going to be announcing our flag football program, and James Ziegler will head that up for us. And it'll be 4 weeks of flag football, and then we'll prepare the teams better this year to go down to regionals.
Gotcha.
And compete. Yeah. So we have kids across every sport. Basketball, we have volleyball. A lot of kids from collegiate are in our volleyball program.
Okay.
A lot of kids from Erie High. Our baseball program and our softball program both offer scholarships to kids in financial need.
Yeah.
And so these are all financial need scholarships, right? And they're not only for the kids who are at the top of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
They're for kids who just want to play and who are committed to be up there.
Yeah, the concept of sports for all is literally no expense to the family, right?
Correct. And so once we saw the success we were having with our programs, and so MCIC have brought loads of kids up during the summertime to take part in clinics, we said, why don't we open this up at scale to the entire community?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're making this difference with 100 kids, imagine how much of a difference we could make across the entire city if it was 2,000 kids.
Wow.
And so that's our goal, is to get 2,000 families to register. We're sitting at nearly 600 already.
Mm.
It's very easy. They come to the website and register, eriesportscenter.com, and they put in their details and they say, I'm interested in these three sports. They've got until the end of March. And the goal is at the end of March, what we'll do is we'll look at the numbers that have been registered. We'll use April to do all of our planning. And then from May through August, all of these kids will get the opportunity to come up to the sports center and take part in professional clinics or professional training sessions with qualified coaches, new equipment, pristine facilities, and learn the game the right way.
Talk about how you're funding that, because that sounds amazing but very expensive.
Yeah, so the I would say 90% of the funding is coming from us. You know, we use what we make to give back to the community.
Yeah,
we do have a couple of sponsors behind the scenes who've helped. And, you know, people like Jim Berlin, you know, at Logistics Plus have been outstanding to us, and him and his family. The Curtsy fellows have been unbelievable. Obviously, we have Allegheny Health Network on board now. But yeah, a lot of it's driven from our own scholarship fund. So the Declan Bingham Scholarship Fund, where we raise funding, and we use that to fund most of our programs.
And there are opportunities, you know, for people to kind of jump in as a significant commercial partner for all of this, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I come from a more conservative background, and so it's a little more difficult for me to go out there and push that side of it.
Yeah.
I'd rather focus on what we're doing. Where people want to be involved, we love it.
Mm-hmm.
Where people don't want to be involved, we say we're going to do it anyway. And we will carry the consequences of that. So yeah, we fund any gap, you know, any shortfall.
The strategy is to bring the kids to the sports center, right? Have you seen any results or tried out of going into the neighborhoods to kind of row, you know, hey, come on, almost like a Pied Piper kind of a thing? You know?
Absolutely. So every time we do a some form of clinic up at the sports center, we take it into the city.
You do? Okay.
So we brought USA Lacrosse in last summer. We ran a camp up at the sports center for 150 kids, and we ran an inner city program down at Gannon for inner city kids to come to the lacrosse program.
Nice.
I brought the Cleveland Cavaliers in to do a basketball camp last summer. We did 3 hours up at the sports center, and then we did 3 hours for about 80 or 90 kids down at Gannon. In the afternoon, all the kids got T-shirts. The Cavaliers came down and did a wonderful job. So you're correct. Our long-term plan is to have mini versions of the sports center at Martin Luther King, Booker T. Washington, and at the Burton School.
Yeah, wow.
So Monday to Friday, kids can walk to the community center and can take part in some form of formalized training, introduction, skill development, etc. bring those kids once a month to the sports center to compete against each other and kids from other communities, and then to give the kids who are showing real potential and promise the opportunity to then play on travel teams and go to the next level.
Right.
So that's kind of the pathway system. Mm-hmm. And this is the starting point.
Yeah.
2003 to 12-year-olds will come up and take part in lacrosse, soccer, baseball, basketball, volleyball, cheer. Through that process, we're going to get the opportunity to speak to 2,000 families
mm-hmm.
and say, look, here's some low-cost opportunities for your kid to play soccer. Our summer soccer program is $75. If you really can't afford the $75, we'll help you. If you want to be involved in baseball, it's $60 for this program.
Mm.
So for age 3 to 12 is to make it as accessible as possible, to make it as affordable as possible, and our entire focus is on technical development.
Right.
We're not trying to create super teams to go out of town and win trophies or to win local tournaments. We really are focused on trying to get kids to just enjoy the game, have fun, and to learn the game. Do the basics properly.
We're in a situation right now, Troy, with our young people, that just fitness is a challenge, right? We have chronic childhood obesity. You've got kids that have never broken away from their electronics, right? I mean, some of this stuff is pushing a rope.
There's mental health issues. I mean, I deal with every sport, boys and girls, and I can't tell you how amazing it is actually to see how many of these young people lack self-confidence, can't hold a conversation, have low self-esteem. All of these things can be learned through sport. All of these things can be learned through being in a team environment.
Right? Yeah, the discipline, the tenacity that comes.
Resilience.
The resilience.
Where's the resilience nowadays? It's gone.
Yeah.
I didn't make the A team, therefore I'm leaving this club and I'm going over there because I want to be in the A team. Right? I mean, it's just BS, right? Honestly, the amount of stuff that I see going on in youth sports that's just despicable. Mm. We don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
Right? We want to have a positive culture. We focus on individual player development. And we want kids to be in a healthy environment.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about pragmatically. How do, like right now, you said there's a deadline coming up here at the end of the month. Talk about what that's all about.
So. Yeah. So we have to be able to plan for this to give the kids a positive, good experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I launched the sports center, we did a free soccer program to open. It was a 6-week program. And I remember thinking, if I can get to 50 kids, I'll be really excited.
Yeah.
And after the first week, I think 12 were registered. And I was panicking a bit. I was thinking, oh, no, this is not going to be successful. And then the momentum started to pick up and we got to 50. And I was, okay, I can defend this now. And then it got to 100. And I was like, wow, this is really good. And then it got to 200, and then I started to get really worried.
Yeah, right.
Because I had to give everyone a T-shirt, and I didn't have enough soccer balls. And then it got to 420, and it became a massive production,
mm-hmm.
right? So it was just outstanding. So I didn't want the same thing to happen.
We want to be prepared.
We want to be prepared. We want to give kids a quality experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so by cutting off at the end of March,
mm-hmm.
we will use April to start planning.
Okay.
So if we have 375 kids who want to do lacrosse and 280 that want to do baseball, we can say, okay, we can easily manage 30 kids in a session.
Okay.
Or we can manage 50 kids in a session. And we can set the session times and we can make sure that when the kids come that they get a really positive professional experience. And we can communicate with the parents. And we can give the kids the individual time that's needed to actually make this a good thing for them.
Yeah, yeah. So what you want to do is go to ErieSportsCenter.com, right?
Yep.
And what are we looking for here?
As you scroll down, you'll see Sports for All.
Sports for All. There it is.
Yep.
Registration closes March 30th. Registration is the button there. And you can donate to the Declan Bingham Scholarship Fund there, and that's going to help out with all of this, right?
Yep.
I mean, absolutely.
Helps out with all our programs.
This is interesting. You're doing you had a conversation about NIL. Can you share a little bit about that? Because I think there's a lot of confusion with name, what, name, image, likeness, right?
Yes. Yeah, so we had that on Friday night.
Yeah. How'd that go?
Yeah, good. A gentleman from New York came in.
Yeah.
They're at the forefront of NIL agreements. And so it was an educational and informative session for high school age athletes to come in and just learn what are their options, right? How does it work? Will it impact my college eligibility? What am I allowed to do? What am I not allowed to do? That kind of stuff. And so that's...
So kids at the high school level are starting to get into these contracts?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like as influencers kind of thing,
yeah?
Oh, my gosh.
College athletes are professionals now.
It is so mind... That whole thing. We could do a whole show on that.
Man.
That whole thing blows my mind.
Just, you know, there are 3,500 soccer players in the college transfer portal right now.
They're looking to change teams. 3,500.
Yeah. So think what that does for a high school kid. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When colleges know they can dip into the transfer portal now and see where a kid's played for 2 years already, who's already 20 years old, 22 years old, 2 years of college experience under his belt, coach is trying to win a title, only looking for one or two players, where do you think he's going to look?
Wow.
He's going to look in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Right? There's college athletes making millions, millions and millions of dollars. Right?
Can I do an editorial comment? I feel like the NCAA did it to themselves, though.
Oh, yeah.
They did not manage this well 10 years ago, 20. Well, 20 years ago when you were playing.
Yeah.
Like they treated all the athletes as slaves, if you will, or just, you know, indentured servants, and didn't help them out. So kid like you, you know, I mean, you probably went without sometimes as a, you know.
Oh, listen, when I came to Gannon in 1988, I arrived in America with $640.
Right? Right.
And the university made an exception for international students back then. We could live off campus.
Okay.
Because campus housing was too expensive.
Gotcha, yeah.
Right? So we had to work, right? 20 hours a week on campus to make a living.
Yep.
We had to pay our own rent, pay our own food, our own electricity, our own bills. All that was covered was our tuition. So we were basically left to fend for ourselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we understand.
It's remarkable. So, yeah, I mean, the NIL conversation is definitely, you know, timely. And then the Villarreal, is that how you pronounce it? Yeah. I mean, that academy is coming up right in the middle of July here. That should be remarkable for sure.
Yeah, look, I'm so excited about that.
Yeah.
Right? The fact that we now have a European soccer academy.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Right. The benefit to our local players and to the region is going to be immense. We already have 14 girls that are signed up to our girls' academy in August. 14 local girls.
Wow.
Right, which is fantastic. We have girls coming in from different parts of the world as well. So our girls' academy will probably be 80% American girls and 20% international. On the boys' side, it'll probably be the reverse. We have, I think, 4 or 5 really good prospects that are local that have signed to be in the full-time academy come August. But then we're signing kids every week from Italy, from Spain, from Venezuela, from South Africa, Kenya, Mexico.
Coming to Erie.
Coming to Erie.
It's incredible.
And paying for the privilege.
Yes. Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
So again, another commercial driver for our facility. Again, bringing more international recognition to Erie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Villarreal posted on their main social media site, right, 7.5 million followers about the Erie Sports Center.
Amazing.
Right? Wow. Pepe Reina, the goalkeeper for the Spanish national team, shared it on his personal Instagram. So
that means an absolute lot.
Yeah.
All right. So if I just want to come up and what? Do you still have the driving range going or
no driving range anymore?
Okay. So I could hit some balls or in the batting cages soon, right?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Speaking of athletes, there's your Gannon men's basketball team right there getting some Ritas. They're having a lot of fun down here and they love to say hello. They're regulars to Ritas.
Yeah. Well, they must
and they're
be.
They're doing a bang.
I'm not just gonna say. Maybe that's the success behind the results.
Exactly. Well, Troy, thank you so much. We wish you all the best We'll come up soon and take a look, a tour around, and see how things are going this spring and summer.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@talkerie.com.